Act will be done. 1975 Expropriation Act obviously predates the Constitution of 1996, and therefore we still leave alone the overarching legislation governing the expropriation of property to the spirit and the provision of the Constitution. In brief, the expropriation bill seeks to achieve the following: to establish the uniform framework and procedures to be followed by all expropriating authorities when exercising their powers. And I want that to be underlined: by all expropriating authorities. There is no intention to take anybody's powers, because we have different expropriating authorities. This procedure will be aligned to the Constitution and the principles of just administrative action. The bill also seeks to provide certainty and guidance to all those involved or subject to an appropriation process, both organs of state and private individuals or entities. The bill does not interfere with the powers of appropriation conferred by specific legislation, but rather prescribes uniform procedures to be followed in line with the Constitution. I should mention that the expropriation bill differs significantly from the 1979 Act in that it recognizes unregistered rights in property, for example, right of those who have been occupied or wept the land over time. They have the rights now. The 1915 expropriation bill has gone through necessary processes, and the cabinet approved that the revised bill be gazetted for public comment. In the light of the comments received, the further revised bill was submitted to NECLE. September 2014, cabinet approved that the revised expropriation bill be submitted to Parliament, and in January 2015, the Department gazetted. That was done by the Minister of Public Works, which was the intention to introduce this bill to Parliament this year in 2015. With the synopsis of that bill, and on the 3rd of February, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor certified the expropriation in 2015 and submitted the bill and its memo. Its memo on the objectives of the bill of 2015 to Parliament. And that's basically that's where we are. So with permission, with your permission, Chair, I would like to hand over to the Deputy Minister to take us into the details of the bill.
Thank you, Minister. Deputy Minister, your question is to tell you anything.
I think I've already dealing with the preparation of this hospital here in Samaria.
We've been very busy along with the staff members here, Mandisa Sachela, the DDG, and Andre Mary in particular, Chief Director, who's played already. We've been, thank you, since some decades dealing with this hospital.
So thank you very much for the opportunity to commend this, to take us to an initial introduction. We'll go very slowly and very carefully. We've got pretty much the morning to do so, and go through step by step. So the first point we want to make is that expropriation recognizes an essential mechanism for the state to provide property in certain instances. Globally, this is the case. States have expropriation powers. In our case, obviously, essential is a typical reason for expropriation. We need to bring telephone line, cable network, build a road or a railway line, and so on. But in the specific South African case, obviously, was it for land reform, and the Constitution explicitly mentioned land reforms being one of the reasons why expropriation may need to occur. And in particular, also conservation. There might many need to appropriate owners in the interest of conserving a critical part of coastal land or whatever. So these forms of expropriation are protected by the Constitution of 1996. The general framework for expropriation is outlined in Section 25, which is the property clause in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. It provides that property may be expropriated only in terms of what in legal terms is called a law of general application. And so this is what we're trying to produce here. This bill is intended to be a law of general application, as the Minister has explained. It's a bill that seeks to outline
general processes that must be observed in all cases of expropriation, regardless of the expropriating authority. And as we'll explain, there are many expropriating authorities in South Africa. The Constitution, and of course, Bill of Rights, Section 25, says that no law may permit the arbitrary separation of property. The Constitution further determines that expropriation may only occur either for a public purpose or in the public interest, and must be subject to some compensation. So public purpose typically would refer to your infrastructure type expropriation, either widen a road, in power cables or whatever. And public interest, and I think there are good examples specifically what we do in the next bullet point. Public interest explicitly in Section 25 of the Bill of Rights includes the nation's commitment, South Africa's commitment to land reform, reforms to bring about equitable access to all South Africa's natural resources, and other reforms to redress the results of past racial discriminatory laws and practices. The public purpose is your more typical expropriations or infrastructure questions, and public interest is a new concept introduced by the Bill of Rights, by the property law, and refers to measures of redress. Okay, reasons why we need to review, with the light, we need to fundamentally change the Expropriation Act of 1975. It confers the power to appropriate property for public purposes on the Minister of Public Works and Property Designation of the Interest. It generally sets up procedures to be followed by appropriate authority when carrying out the appropriation. But these procedures are quite limited, to be honest, and give quite significant power to government. And this is all, so there are some questions that I've seen in the media saying that putting powers to come to this particular bill. So in fact, if anything, the existing Expropriation Act provides very significant powers, which we are seeking to ensure occur in to ensure that there's a ministry of justice and progress that we follow. Okay, in particular, the review of the 1975 Act became necessary to ensure that there's a consistency both with the letter and spirit and specific provisions of the Constitution. And in particular, there's the Equality Clause of Section 9, the Property Clause, which is the key one that we use a lot with in the Bill, but also the Just Administrative Action, Section 33 of the Bill of Rights, as well as the extension of the purpose of expropriation to include public interest. As you said, that's a new term introduced. Continuing with the theme of, you know, what are the unconstitutional and problematic features of the existing Act, it limits the payment of compensation to owners and holders of registered rights and holders of only certain unregistered rights in expropriated property. Section 25 of our Constitution, however, permits the expropriation of property subject to the payment of just and equitable compensation to all persons if they provide expropriation. So someone with an unregistered rights, let us say a farm worker covered by extension of the Security of Kenya Act, for instance, may well have an unregistered right, but on their property expropriated in the Expropriation Act, they would surely to be liable to compensation. A shareholder on a farm operating perhaps with an unregistered agreement, but an agreement unless a contractual agreement, wouldn't be the farm owner only, but the shareholder that would be entitled to compensation if it was an expropriation. A holder of a right in property that a registered farm is recognized as one who is entitled to compensation. Okay, continuing with the same theme, compensation in terms of the 1975 Act is determined primarily on the basis of the market value of the expropriated property. Under the Constitution, again, Section 25, and specifically Subclause 3, requires that there should be just and equitable compensation be paid, and that such compensation be determined by having regard to all relevant circumstances, without placing undue weight on any single particular factor. And we quote now directly from Section 25, Subsection 3 of the Bill of Rights. It says, and this is, in our view, a very, very important section for the purposes of what we're doing. The amount of the compensation and the time and manner of payment must be just and equitable, reflecting an equitable balance between the public interest
and the interests of those affected, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including, but it's not necessarily the totality of this, the current use of the property, the history of the acquisition and use of the property, the market value of the property, the extent of direct state investment and subsidy in the acquisition and beneficial improvement of the property, and the purpose of the expropriation. So a comprehensive list which guides the build-up in the case of or challenge around compensation. The courts will also have to be guided by both the bill, hopefully soon to be act, but also obviously those critical clause in the bill of rights. So it's not by alone. That's the market value of the property is just one of several factors that we need to be working on. Continuing with the shortcomings and the lack of constitutionality in the existing Expropriation Act, it does not embody the constitutional principle of a just and restrictive action, such as providing for notification through publication of an intended expropriation, incorporating the purpose and rationale for such expropriation. So that would be, and you'll see us explain the bill as we go through in detail. In 1975, a minister, and I've also a journalist sitting behind me, Stanley Fugger, who's the wife that a minister could just proceed with expropriation without issuing a notice of intention and providing for a process of engagement with those who would be affected by expropriation. It doesn't provide for notification of intention to expropriate, which would have to indicate the purpose and rationale. It doesn't provide for notification to all known affected persons on the intended expropriation, incorporating the purpose and rationale for such an expropriation. It doesn't afford, and that's 1975, it's full with the current legislation, doesn't afford interested parties an opportunity to raise objections and to make representations to the expropriating authority before the decision is expropriated. And it doesn't provide the expropriating authority to consider all provisions from the interested party before deciding whether or not to proceed with the expropriation. So those are all kinds of things that we try to embody very firmly in terms of the constitutional requirement of the Minister of Justice. We believe that, and we'd like the committee to very carefully to see whether we're getting in this general law application, are we outlining the just administrative process that precedes any expropriation. That certainly doesn't exist in law in the current act. Now, it's important to understand also that there is an array of authorities within all tiers of government that are completely empowered to expropriate property through a diversity of laws. So there's the 1975 Expropriation Act, which is a general act applying to expropriation currently standing. But there are all kinds of sectoral and other pieces of legislation which empower currently the national governments, the president and various ministers, like 10 ministers in our count, in different legislation are empowered to expropriate. All provincial governments, premiers and various MPs have expropriated authority power. And local governments, all municipal councils are empowered currently to expropriate. We have no intention, as the minister said, of taking over those powers. Our intention is not to take away powers, but to describe a general process that must apply to any act of expropriation. And that's what we make, the point we make under 4.7. There is therefore a need for the diversity of expropriate authorities that continues to be appropriate authorities once this legislation is passed, that there needs to be a law of general application that provides certainty to those involved in an expropriation, but from the side of the state, as well as those who are facing expropriation, to have to understand what the rules of the game are, what the process will be, and will need to be. And the courts also need to have some discretion on that as well. So if it's a challenge, the courts are empowered through this legislation to understand what the measure of a just process will be. So in short, under 4.8, the saying we seek to ensure consistency with the Constitution and uniformity across different spheres of government, different lines of government, a uniformity of procedure in the case of all expropriations without interfering with the existing powers of the expropriation. Okay. So now, into the process, and the Minister touched on this briefly, the process that did not include our current. So in 2013, a draft expropriation bill was published for public comments. There were extensive, generally,
several very useful comments, several friendly but amending comments. We were received from organized agriculture, commerce, industry, the financial sector, legal fraternity, property industry, professional associations, public entities, government departments, and of course, general members of the public. In the main, comments were positive, offering wide-ranging proposals towards improving draft legislation. But the useful thing about comments is that you discover that what you think is quite clear is not necessarily clear. And I think something we found useful was not that the comments sometimes expose, help us to get our intentions across in the clear. A revised appropriation bill was thereafter submitted to NEDLAC, and a top team of the Trade and Industry and Development Chambers of NEDLAC concluded the deliberations with the Labour. Let us review the areas of disagreement before this, and there are no areas of disagreement where Labour, community and business unanimously oppose any provision of the draft bill. And so NEDLAC adopted the draft team's report in February 2014. So that was very encouraging to the that we have been successful in that process. Again, some of what we've got now in the draft reflect friendly amendments where the developers have helped us to understand where they might be in the standards of our intention. And then, as the Minister said, in September 2014, Cabinet approved the expropriation bill that would be submitted to Parliament, subject to final certification by the Chief State Law Advisor. The Office of the Chief State Law Advisor scrutinised and undertook comprehensively the expropriation bill and certified the bill submitted to Parliament on the 3rd of February this year, 2015. It was introduced as expropriation bill in fall 2015 in Parliament and referred to the Service Disclosure Committee on the 13th of February. Thank you for staying up now for this Okay. Then we can then go through fairly systematically, but obviously we're going to actually go through even more systematically, line by line, with the actual bill in hand, but just to give members a sense of the overall structure and argument of the bill. This is 1 and 2, contain definitions, and deal with application of the proposed legislation, determining that expropriate authority may not expropriate property arbitrarily or for a purpose other than a public purpose or in the public interest. The expropriating authority is obliged to enter into negotiations with the owner of property required for such purposes and attempts to reach agreements on the acquisition of the property before resorting to expropriation, except in circumstances, and we'll come to that later, where the rights to use the property temporarily for an urgent reason is taken. We'll come to that when we get to clause 3. The bill proposes that no property may be expropriated unless the prescribed procedures have been followed. So this becomes clear and legislated prescription of the procedures that should be followed in the case of all expropriation. Clauses 2 and 4 grants a general power expropriation to the Minister of Public Works. This was one of the areas that was an additional draft was a bit misunderstanding. The 1935 Expropriation Act basically falls under the Department of Public Works, and the Minister there is described as the Minister of Public Works. So we need to store the provisions of the Act that gives other acts that other ministers and other spheres of government appropriating powers. This Act briefly gives the Minister of Public Works appropriating powers, so clauses 3 and 4 deal with that. But to repeat the point, apart from clauses 3 and 4, this is a law general application, not just for the Minister of Public Works. In an earlier draft, there was a misunderstanding that what we were describing was all the powers that the Minister of Public Works needed, as opposed to all the others were creating authorities for the job from there. The Minister's mandate, under item 14 there, his mandate, or his or her mandate, includes the provision and management of the accommodation land and infrastructure needs of forms of state, in other words, describing the core function of the Department of Public Works. The Minister may delegate or assign his or her power and duties pertaining in the bill to an official of the Department of Public Works, except for the power to expropriate urgently on a temporary basis, withdraw expropriation, or make recognition. Those are usual provisions of the Act, that there are certain powers that only the Minister must assign. There are other powers that can be delegated in terms of expropriation. Okay, now we're moving on to the generality. We've already described them a high level, and now we can get into the detail a little bit. So the chapter 3 is about the preliminary questions that any expropriation authority must undertake, investigation and evaluation of the policy. So clauses 5 and 6 deal with the pre-expropriation phase and detail various procedures to be followed by the expropriating authority prior to an expropriation. These procedures are used to ascertain suitability of the property. Okay, you want to widen the road? Are we taking the road in the right direction? The power cables, we really need to go in this direction, not to the appropriate visit property that was required. Therefore, they need to gather information on the existence of registered and also of registered and unregistered rights in such property and the impact of such rights and the intended use thereof. So it might just be a corner of a farm, in which case it's not all of the farm that would be appropriated, but it will have some impact. What would be of impact? So the requirements in which it is. Indeed, the bill also proposes that the expropriating authority may authorize persons to enter the property with a view to surveying and evaluating the property, much other so in order to find property. So there would be, but in order to do a property evaluation and investigation, would be, there may be the need to specifically check it out. 18 provisions also made for a person to claim compensation should the property concerned be damaged as a consequence of the evaluation of the property. Now we know that public works, the one public is very careful with all the property it goes on to, but in the case of perhaps an unforeseen damage or whatever, there would be the right to compensation. Okay, that proceeds, yes, of course. Chapter 3 continues the investigation of evaluation of property. 19, in gathering the information, the appropriating authority applies to consult with other organs of state that may be affected by the expropriation. And particularly, the department is responsible for rural development and land reform, for mineral resources, for water affairs and sanitation, and the relevant municipality must be consulted to ascertain the impacts of the proposed expropriation on rights administered by those departments. It might be mineral rights, exploratory rights, it might be multi-use licenses, whatever, which might be impacted upon. And in case of municipality, to ascertain the effect of the expropriation would have on spatial development and engineering services. Okay, so that would be the initial, very initial, the investigation. Do we need to do this? What are the likely impacts? Having completed that, we then move on to the fourth chapter of the bill, which is the intention to expropriate. And clauses 7 to 11 deal with the next year, the post-investigation phase. At this stage, the expropriate authority will gather all information, consulted with all parties affected by expropriation, and at the end of that investigation, decided, yeah, we do need to expropriate. 22, the expropriating authority must serve all the affected parties known to him or her with the notice of intention to expropriate. So this is the next thing. So public notice. This notice will, amongst other things, include the description of the property, not the whole farm, but part of it, whatever. The purpose for which the property will be expropriated. So it can't be because I want my uncle to occupy the farm, whatever. But it's for X, Y, and Z. The purpose must be clearly stated. The reason for expropriation and a directive to the owner and holders of rights to furnish the hit list of holders of unregistered rights known to them. So in the initial investigation, there might not be an understanding of who has unregistered rights, which in certain cases might not be the case. But there would be a directive therefore for the holder of the rights to furnish any knowledge in the hit list that they might have. That we then get into some Google contact or whatever we share with the shareholder, a sharecropper on their part. Okay. The notice of intention to expropriate must also call upon the owner or a holder of a right in effect of property to provide a written statement stipulating the amount claimed as just and equitable compensation. So to that point, initial point, that the party that may be expropriated will provide written statements for the amount that they claim as just and equitable. All affected parties will have the opportunity to submit written objections within a stipulated area. The expropriating authority must consider all objections and submissions timely before proceeding with expropriation. They might say, why are you taking the target in this direction? You obviously don't know this area, if you've got more sense to move in that direction, whatever. So, and there's an obligation for the expropriating authority to consider that due attention to any objections or submission. If no agreement on the amount of compensation payable can be reached between the expropriating authority and the owner or holder of a right within a specified area, the expropriating authority must take the decision whether or not to expropriate. So at this point, there's still the possibility that there's a requirement that the dialogue, and this avoids the desire of the case, that there can be an agreement before proceeding with expropriation. In other words, it can be expropriated but with compensation without going to and both parties are happy to. That speeds up the process. And typically, an Eskom or a Telecom, a Sanrail, then delayed in the process are constantly, whereas the compensation aspect is a budgetary concern, provided it's not phrased as a decision. So, hopefully, and in any case, in practice, there's a settlement at this point. And if there's no agreement on compensation, then the authority and the owner or holder of right within there's no agreement, the expropriation authority must now take the decision whether it's expropriated or not. So it's sort of like, okay, maybe I should do something different. But if there's a decision that's appropriate, provision is then made for further negotiations on compensation with the owner or holder of right. For the case, you'll then with the notice of expropriation. And so there's a notice of intention. And once that process has been completed and there's no agreement, then there needs to be a notice of expropriation. So the second kind of thing. If the expropriating authority decides then to expropriate, a notice of expropriation must be served on the relevant owner, holder of an unrestricted right, and of all known affected parties. The notice must, amongst other things, contain a full description of the property, a description of the purpose for which the property is expropriated, the reason for the expropriation, the date of the expropriation, so that's a new end, and the amount of compensation offered or agreed to. So I check out slightly wrong. Even if there's an agreement on the compensation, then there needs to be a notice of compensation. Okay. 28, the notice of expropriation must furthermore be accompanied by a document setting out the date of payment of the compensation, indicating the property by way of a survey diagram, sketch plan, an explanation of what the offer of compensation comprises of, information for why compensation is divided up in the way it is, together with supporting documents to detail how the offer of compensation is considered. The comp obviously comp the comp evaluation points. Clause 9 then states that the effect of expropriation has on the property concern, which includes the ownership of the property based on the expropriating authority on the date of expropriation, and that all unregistered rights in the property are simultaneously expropriated, subject to certain exceptions. And your policy will be some fundamentally achieve this problem. The responsibility to the effect of expropriation then fits the expropriation authority. 30, a further effect of expropriation is that the expropriation authority must take possession of the property concerned. They can't expropriate and then leave the property until the date of possession, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of a right who is still in possession of the property must take care to maintain the property. This is either that can be run down or plundered or whatever. So legally we do need to say that in the interim period, which typically should not be too long, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of a right must take responsibility and must also then be compensated for costs necessary for the maintenance of the property. Everybody needs to run, continue some water or whatever, and in addition to the compensation for expropriation, any further compensation of course needs to be provided with the for the 10 and 11 then deal with claims made in respect of unregistered rights of property, which property has already been expropriated. The bill recognizes that the holder of unregistered rights of property that has been expropriated is entitled to compensation. Provision is made for the submission of evidence to the expropriating authority to verify the claim and for the duties of the expropriating authorities. Then clauses 12 to 20, which now chapter 5, deal with the issue of compensation for the expropriation. They deal with the determination of payment of compensation to persons who are expropriated.
Section 25 of the Ready C of the Constitution has determined the amount of compensation of the fund and then payment must be just and equitable. It must reflect an equitable balance between the public interest on the one hand and the interest of those officials on the other. And it must have regard to all relevant circumstances, including the repeat again of those administration and again these critical rights issues that are mentioned in the Bill of Rights, the current use of the property, the history, acquisition and use of the property, the market value of the property, the extent of direct state investment authority and subsidy and acquisition and beneficial for the improvement of the property and the purpose of the appropriation. Clause 12 then also deals with factors which must not be taken into account for the amount of compensation determined. These are A, the fact that the property has been taken without the consent of the expropriated owner or expropriation fraud. So there might not be an agreement around compensation. The fact that there's not an agreement can't be a reason per se, because it's a court challenge. For the court to decide, well, unfortunately, the speculative person entity would agree that by definition that was reported. That can't be taken into account, but in terms of the principles outlined in the property court. B, the special suitability of the property for the purpose for which it is required by the expropriating authority, it is unlikely that the property would have been purchased for that purpose in the open market. Okay, which might be a hill in which it's a favorable place to take a radio antenna or whatever. But that can't be a reason to drive the compensation hugely because there's no other market value to it. It's only because it's in use for public purpose or in public interest that it has a particular value. Any enhancement in the value of the property is such an enhancement is a consequence of the use of the property in a manner which is unlawful. Improvements made, and I think you require compensation there. That's not because I feel improvements on the property after the date on which the notice of expropriation was served, except where such were agreed or on or under payment terms or obligation to enter into before the date of expropriation. So an owner can't speculatively put all of the things in at the last minute in order to write up the claims in a corporate. And anything done with the object of obtaining compensation there. Clause 13, to continue with the compensation issue, makes provision for the payment of interest on any outstanding compensation once the expropriating authority has taken possession. Section 14 deals with certain obligations of an owner or holder of an unregistered right to receive the notice of expropriation. Then up within 20 working days of receiving the notice, indicate whether he or she agrees to or rejects the amount of compensation offered. They can't just take it into cash for longer. And that's the point made under 26. If the offer is rejected, the owner or holder must indicate the amount he or she claims as just and equitable. Provision is made for particulars which the owner or holder must furnish. Provision is also made for expropriating authority to extend the period of 20 working days. Clause 15 provides that if the expropriating authority rejects the amount claimed by a claimant, the executing authority must within 20 working days of the delivery of the statement containing the amount claimed make an offer of just and equitable compensation to furnish full particulars of how the amount is made and how to calculate. So the party intended for expropriation comes back with the evaluation of the claim of compensation within 20 days. There must be a response either with the old compensation that you've offered or with a revised one, but the full particulars as to why that's written. Unless otherwise agreed to, if the claimant fails to institute the legal proceedings for the termination of the compensation within 60 working days of the delivery of the appropriating authority's final offer, the claimant will be regarded to have extended such offer. So they then have 60 days, once this has all happened, to go to court cases around the matter. If not, then it will be treated. Clause 16 provides for certain particulars. it's probate authority will send a request providing for compensation claims as well. For 17 deals for payment of the amount of compensation, in essence, compensation becomes due on the date on which possession of the expropriated property passes to the expropriated authority. So even in a case where there's no agreement on the compensation, compensation must be paid once the expropriation has happened. And what we don't say here, but what's said in the bill, is that at least 80% of the property amount must be paid, so that you don't leave a person who's taking the court on compensation or takes it to the court without a farm, without their property, but without any, without compensation either. So, to make a critical point, expropriation is not delayed by a court saying around compensation. Once all of this process has gone through, an expropriation authority can expropriate, provided they've gone through what we regard as a justice administrative process. They can expropriate and must pay compensation on the date of the expropriation. Clause 18 deals with instances where expropriated property is subject of a mortgage or a deed of sale. Because it's complicated, the nominal owner might not actually be the owner, it might be one of the banks or whatever, or there might be partial ownership and so on. So the compensation doesn't necessarily go to the farm owner, considerable amount of it might end up with the bank. Provisions made to whom pays for the amount of compensation must be made. Clause 19 makes provision for the expropriated authority to pay out of compensation money any outstanding use of property rate and other charges relating to the property up to the date of possession by the expropriated authority. So municipal accounts and so on are still, until expropriation has happened, they are for the accounts of the entity that is expropriated, but on the expropriation of the expropriated authority must take responsibility for things like municipal accounts. Clause 20 makes provision for instances where the expropriating authority may deposit a compensation for the matter of the High Court, in a case where an expropriated authority was left in a will, for instance, to undetermine the beneficiaries. Clause 21 provides that in the absence of agreement on compensation, the court must determine the dispute on compensation between the expropriated party and the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of a right in the property. Provision is also made how the court may award costs regarding any such dispute. That's quite an interesting clause, which we, maybe when we get to the detail later we can deal with. But basically, it is sure that that there's not the temptation to go to court whimsically or arbitrarily. So if an expropriated entity claims a compensation which is far in excess of what reasonable, and goes to court, then if the award is what was originally the court decides that what is offered, fair and just and equitable, then the costs of the court case then devolve on the issue that's been appropriated. Conversely, if the state's appropriated authority finds that its offer, final offer, is far below what the court decides, then obviously the costs are quite justifiably reverse it. Clause 22 deals with urgent expropriation. In the case of a disaster or a court subordinate, an expropriating authority may exercise a right to use property temporarily for a period not exceeding 12 months. The expropriating authority is exempt from certain provisions of the Act should exercise the right to take property temporarily on an urgent basis. Okay, this is one that the committee needs to look at very carefully, because of the potential, we think that we've written the law correctly, to allow for instances where there's an air disaster or whatever, or a flood or something like that, and normally the property owner would allow emergency services and other access to the property, but there are cases where people don't do that. And therefore we do need to allow this, other legislation as well, the right for urgent
contract, which can't be for longer than 12 months, and certainly should, you know, 12 months renewable, whatever kind of. So we need to, I'm sorry, I'm not even understand what we're trying to achieve now. And as I said, it's certain other ways that in the country, the private administration as well, but we do need to make sure that we get the balance right between the safety that we respond to in the public interest of public service to talk about crisis and disaster or whatever, quickly and expeditiously on the one hand, but on the other hand, for us not to become a loop of that standing. So we would like the committee, anything we would like the committee to do, like ahead. We think we've done our work here, but we need to also make sure that we're happy with this. The expropriator, so basically what this would do would exempt the expropriator from the long procedures that we've been describing about intention to expropriate, basis of intention, investigating it, determining who are all the registered owners and rights holders for half registration, the determined negotiation around compensation and our policy to move on an urgent basis, but only when the justice is in 46, the expropriating authority must, within 40 days of the notice to use the property temporarily, make a written offer of compensation to the owner or holder of a right. Provision is made for compensation in the case of damage to the property as well. 423 authorizes an expropriating authority to withdraw an expropriation if the withdrawal is in the public interest or the reason for the property which is expropriated is no longer applicable. This would be not an urgent case, but in general, whether the expropriation might be for some reason realized. Expropriation is not necessary or no longer required, and so can be under certain specified instances, and the expropriating authority may not withdraw the expropriation. Provision is also made to effect a withdrawal of an expropriation had on ownership of the property. Provision is made that the expropriating authority would be liable for all reasonable costs and damages incurred, suffered by claims as a result of the withdrawal. Then there's a series of related matters. So we're becoming to the end. Yeah, we're getting there. So clauses 24 to 31 deal with delivery and publication of documents, extension of time allowed for certain actions, a register prohibited all expropriations, not just by the Congress, but all expropriations, offences and other related matters, the power of the Minister of Public Works and Regulations, the impact of it on existing legislation, the introduction of draft legislation directly or indirectly, amending the envisaged statute as they require, repeal of laws and transitional arrangements and savings. So those are the normal things that are about really complicated legislation. Clause 24 deals with the service of documents. Clause 27 deals with offences relating to failure to provide information or documentation as described in the bill. If property owners refuse to provide information on unregistered rights holders, for instance, that could constitute an offence in terms of legislation. Willful furnishing a false or misleading information by property owners or holders of rights. As far as any existing laws dealing with expropriation are concerned, Clause 29 provides that those laws must be interpreted consistent with the provisions of the Envisaged Act. If there is a conflict, this Act will apply. In other words, it's really just reassuring that this is a law of general application. So whatever other minister or provincial government's expropriate powers might be, anything in those other legislation which are outlined in what's described here, which would not be legal, and this would be an overriding. The Envisaged Act will repeal the policy of expropriation Act of 1975, and the various rules that are made there. Okay. This is really just an attempt to map out approaches and ideas useful. I've been taking this to NEDLAC and other traditional leaders and so forth, and this is, I think, hopefully a helpful message of the process that we discussed as connected outlines of process. So just remember, first step, investigation, evaluation of the property, to ascertain the suitability of the identified property for intended purpose, and figuring out the registered and unregistered rights in the
if a property is land, then there's the need to consult with those departments, any other relevant organ state, and the statutory land, which should be considered a provision of the state. Then step two would be the note, once that is completed, for the satisfaction of the probating authority. Step three, notice of intention to expropriate. It must be published so that the public is made aware. It must be served on all known effective suspicions, invite objections and suspicions. And if the property is land, again, it must be delivered to those relevant and government affected persons must lodge objections or submissions within 30 working days or within the extended period that might be granted by the expropriating authority. If the expropriating authority, after due consideration of all information and submissions received, decides to proceed with the expropriation, the must cause a next step notice of expropriation. So that's my intention now, notice of expropriation. Must be served on the owner and holders of registered rights, served on the known holders of unregistered rights, and published also before the public. If the property is land, again, copy of the notice will be delivered again to those government, but also to the registrar of deeds and mineral petroleum titles, registration office, and to the holder of a mortgage bond registered against the property. And this notice of expropriation must include the purpose of the expropriation, reason for expropriation of that particular property, date of expropriation, and date of possession of the property, amount offered as compensation, including compensation of the known holders, unregistered rights of the property, so it doesn't all go to you, the bank actually, you've got a mortgage, the mortgage is bank, and yes, the bank has been okay. Then the process in negotiating compensation. So I'm just repeating, but hopefully this is a legal concern, how shall I do it? The notice of expropriation must give you details of an offer of compensation. The expropriated owners and holders of rights must indicate within 20 days, 15 days, from the date on which the notice was served, whether the offer is accepted. The expropriated authority may send this to you of 20 working days if this is necessary. If the offer is not accepted, the expropriated owners and holders of rights must indicate what they are claiming in terms of compensation, and they must provide the full particulars of such a claim. This must include professional valuation, other professional reports informing their claim. If the expropriated authority does not accept the claim by an expropriated owner or holder of rights, he or she must still make a revised offer indicating full details thereof. Then a claim for compensation, offer of compensation remains in force until the expropriating authority makes a revised offer, a claim or offer has been accepted, or compensation has been decided or approved by a court. Quite long and complicated, but hopefully not complicated.
Thank you very much, the Minister. If there's no further deliberation or input from the Ministry and the Department, I'll avail the opportunity to members of Parliament for their comments and questions. Members of Parliament, it's your time to end your living. Let's start with you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. So I think we're all aware that it's on stage where we expropriate has said for the public purposes, and the Constitution also says for the public interest. But gentlemen, just something that I'm not sure of, and the Deputy Minister must have agreed, the Constitution talks about the public interest. But with this bill, we actually have added more than what the Constitution says for the public interest. And the other thing that I just want to know, this bill has been coming to this Parliament for so many times, and it was referred so many times. Can maybe we understand whether before it was sent there, because it was unconstitutional, whether currently, what are the sources that are saying we've cleaned up and the bill is constitutional? But let me go to the property. Let's take, for example, a house that is mine, or the house and this is how it's going to be expropriated. And when you look at the High Act, Prevention of Illegal Eviction, you must provide me first with an alternative accommodation. And this bill is not covering that. The second one is, let me say I have a property, as we're saying, and this property is not mine, belongs to the bank. And I'm owing on this property. And the way the expropriation is going to happen is not going to be a market deal, but it's going to be decided on the authority. In case what they are paying is less than what the bank, what I'm owing the bank, who is going to be liable for the differences that I'm owing? Because this is going to be the biggest problem, because someone doesn't have money now is being put in a situation that is unable to pay, actually we're putting him into debt. Because the expropriation didn't actually do which I just think it should be just. I doesn't get an understanding there also. How are we going to address that issue? And is this not maybe going to be one way the bank that are not being expected to give us money anymore for lending? And again, we talk about the payment of 80%. Here I am, I'm out of my house or whatever the case may be, I need money. And I'm being paid 80%. How am I going to carry on with my life if this money is not enough to can make me again to be equal to what I was before? Because, and the deal also doesn't tell us the 20%, how is the 20% going to be? Maybe we need some guidance. The person, I think that is okay for now. And maybe we'll get some answers.
Thank you,
Mr.
Honorable Marco.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks for the Minister and Deputy Minister for their presentation. The bill now really clarifies a lot of things that were not clarified before. However, Chair, maybe I want to check with the Minister. There are so many commentators that are issuing the bill, and they are saying that this bill is aiming to target the commercial farmers to take away their land. Although it is known fact that the land in South Africa still belongs to the white men, and even though it is not aimed at targeting them, but it will maybe automatically happen that the people that will be living there are those people. But can the minister uncheck and explain to us whether all, if not only the farmers that are targeted, even business and homes and so forth, will be really, because I think there is a provision that is saying that for public use, it's not something that will be taken. But as we see, we want the minister maybe to move away this year from the government around the particular matter, especially the commercial farmers. Also, Chair, it is a known fact that after the minister is done with the presentation and the deputy minister, there is a provision for 2 months given for property owners to make an appeal if they are not happy about the expropriation. But, Honorable Chair, there is a concern that this bill gives the state the power to take ownership and possession of property and any kind of notice to the owner and without prior court order. And the fear they are saying that this particular matter is a problem because it is alleged that it contradicts the common law protection for property rights. I want the minister maybe to give us his views or comment around the particular matter that it contradicts the common law. After you have outlined where the process will be followed and what is the difference between the 1975 expropriation scheme and the current one, or the Act of 1975 and the current one. And also, can the minister assure the committee that because this particular bill was introduced in 2008, 2013 can the minister assure the committee that all the requirements of expropriation is enshrined in the constitution has been covered so that we can prevent again going back to the particular deal again and say it is unconstitutional because the deputy minister indicated that there were cases where it was not well clarified and they went there and clarified it as well as also those that were seemingly not constitutional. Can they assure us now that these processes that they have outlined and the areas that were unconstitutional has been met now? That is the question. I'm covered on the issue of the accommodation, alternative accommodation, maybe like the agent expropriation, to say that maybe this is a property I'm in and there's an agent expropriation and I'm being taken out, whether there will be a provision for that particular person to be accommodated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The Iro Alvar Adam.
When I start by expropriating of sovereignties, in our specific community, national government or provincial government and so on. Now, after the assembly to the dispute, I know the Guardian Bird and the USDP, fantastic so far. Kan ik ook niet verschrikken en vrienden dat nationaal, maar ik weet dat die partijen van publieke werken wordt synchroon weer gebeschermd als de partijen van concurrentie. Dus de secretaries worden afgeëscaleerd naar de provincie toe en naar de secretaris. Zo eigendom dat ik als ik een regerende jurisdictie vervat. En daar is nu genoeg kan er nog ooit een cirkel zijn dat de nationale regering geld zal helpen bij die expropriation van die. En dan een tweede vraag aan mijn voorzitter. Kan er nog ooit een nader omschrijving geven van ongeregistreerde regering? Ik denk dat er nog een paar jaar wordt. Die rechten van ongeregistreerde eenaars met het bestaan waar werkers niet naar van ik in echt bedrag in betaalde. Wie doet die berekening van die bedrag bij die ongeregistreerde eenaars? Ga je dan zien.
Bij dank je voor je inzicht en de nader. Zeker die minister en die adjunct minister tussen die twee waren dat zal vertaald. Ik heb gezien de minister schudt zich op. Dat die verstaat. Zeker zeker dat zal ons antwoord kan zien. At this stage, those are the questions that I have from members and their comments. I'm sure the minister, deputy minister, and departments will provide the answers to the questions posed. But my general reminder to members, whilst we seek a certain degree of comfort in regard to issues that are constitutional and other issues, we should not lose sight of our responsibility as members of parliament. It is the members of parliament that has to look at the constitutionality of the bill. It's your responsibility to see that it meets constitutional muster and all those other issues. We cannot only end up saying that once you have a conflict or an expression from the ministry of the department, that's the end of the story. It's not. This is where it starts. Our responsibility to engage, interrogate, and also to canvass the views of a general public out there. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, anyone from the department, and then we also have the legal unit here. Whoever feels the need. Thank you, Minister.
Okay. Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the members for, I think, the questions that I put spot, spot on, and I'm sure we'll come certainly when it gets into the detail and into public hearings as well. But if I could just, as you correctly say, Chair, these are matters of the committee must take responsibility for, but let's give our perspective as things stand. So the first question was, and there was also a follow-up question from my blog, the Honourable Scott, you know, What is the background to previous bills? And I think there might be a little bit of misunderstanding about previous bills. So the 1975 Expropriation Act, which is still the act as we speak, is clearly unconstitutional in any respect, and problematic, and actually gives draconian powers even to the Senate. So the need to The bill that was debated, I think it got to the committee stage, and I certainly had a sort of peripheral involvement in it as a chair of another committee, in 2007-2008, was basically not ruled unconstitutional, but it was decided to withdraw it by the Department of Public Works, which was the my own view is that it was seeking to avoid a compensation challenge from necessarily going to court. And I think, in my view, it would have been ruled that I'm not conscious of what I'm just a politician and been responding to the ideologies. But in my view, it would not have passed constitutional scrutiny. It wasn't. It was thrown out. It was widely withdrawn by the Department. But this room also was run up to the 2009 election, so I think it was with the new administration coming in. It was withdrawn. The thing, basically, when Mr. McCarthy and I came in to the Department of Question, the previous administration, the midterm of the previous administration, working with the team involved previously and for whom any unconstitutionality was not the responsibility of anything. We revived the process. But we were ready to roll actually with the 2013 draft. It had been taken through NEDLAC successfully. And then we just ran out of time in terms of the last part. So again, that was just lack of constitutionality in our view that led to him. But in fact, we tried to get part of the process of the public system. We were too close to the elections. It was the end of, which is the second part of 2013, and then we were thinking that we should just stop that. So that's why it's taken time. And the process in NEDLAC, which was a very fruitful process, but was also quite a prolonged process. NEDLAC process was in NEDLAC. So I hope that gives some context. We've definitely removed, in my amateurish view, the unconstitutionality of the 2008 Act. Obviously, there must be a right to approach the court on compensation. We can't take it the decision I'm trying to do that. We've tried to explain quite clearly this morning. Okay. So I think that's some sense of the background. Some of the more specific questions. You're quite right, of course, we don't specifically refer to time, prevention of illegal addiction. But we're not displacing time at all. In other words, an expropriating authority, we're describing the process that must proceed. But time, we quite correctly say, if you're evicting someone, you must provide them could say the wealthy representation of Christ is in controversy of shelter and housing. And so Pi, not displacement Pi, so, nor Esther, which is another critic, the security of Kenya, security of Kenya, in terms of the farmers. So not displacing those things. And the process of expropriation has also been first movement to be administratively unjust. And indeed, what happens if you are a bondholder in a house and let's say you still have 100% of the bond? It's not you that gets expropriated, it's the bank. The bank is being expropriated, not your bank. So you would have to move out of the house. If you obviously compensated, and that's why we make allowance for it in the bill. You would have to be compensated for the amount that you expect on the house in terms of paying off your bond. But the balance of the bond, if it was 100%, the balance would go to, it would still need to be compensated for the disruption of your life and so forth. So with the bank 100% that would be appropriated in case of a particular property, there would still actually be a good cause and the need to appropriate the property to compensate someone living in a house that gets the on expropriation, if there's disputes, what the legislation is at least 80% of what is the final offer for the state, at least 80%. So it's not 80% and not 81%. It could be 100% should be paid on expropriation, so the person is not left without compensation, even though they're challenging the amount of compensation, and without the property from which they're being expropriated. I think the reason for saying at least 80% is that the state might feel, the expropriation authority might feel, that already it's an extremely generous offer, which we've popped up, and that's typically the case, by the way, particularly with big entities like Transnet and Tesco. For them, the hassle in the long delays in getting the transmission lines in and so forth, and they often offer, and often that gets put at them. Taxpayers, they say, so we need to think of ourselves as a potential target for expropriation, but also as taxpayers who are paying for expropriation. And a lot of compensation for expropriation is actually exceedingly generous as taxpayers. So we need to always get that balance right at every level. Balance between public inclusion, taxpayer inclusion, and those who expropriate. There's a section that commercial farmers are targeted. No one is targeted. In other bits of legislation, commercial farmers, in terms of land restitution policies and programs, they might be targeted. Okay. This bill is not about any targeting. This is really just a piece of legislation that describes all forms of expropriation and the conditions under which they must occur. And as I think a number of the questions have been reflecting, it's not just commercial farmers that may liable to expropriation.
When it comes to building a dam or building a facility. And that's why the notion of market value and control criteria, which is control criteria, encourages expropriation. Maybe I'm saying, I want to compensate workers who's set where a dam is going to be built. The thing is, virtually nothing. Which we had to say we just appropriate, intangible appropriate. fact that we haven't used those cars is the stops. I think that our intentions for this group are certainly not to win the field of the tradition that is spoke with in the bill. The definition of public interest is literally okay. Thank you, Andre, for dealing with this process. Public, let me read it and let me clarify my mind. Public interest includes the nation's commitment to land reform, so reforms bring about critical aspects for all South Africa's natural resources and other related reforms in order to redress the results of past racial discrimination laws or plans. So in addition, and I think that's one of the things that the committee should discuss. Personally, I think that the addition is unhelpful. That's aware of that. Elaborate in the fruit and in the letter that we can talk about the position. But again, that's a great thing.
Sorry.
left partner to occupy a part of it, exchange for shipping with partners in time, or for aid, and the proportion of the job. So, the application is the important part. Right? I saw you know that also that person has some unrealistic. I think that's a conflict. That's why I think on both sides the professional value of the
value
because you want to put in electricity plant, you want to put the power line and so on. That's for the public purpose. And it's usually less controversial. But and you can argue about the fact. But if you're talking of expropriating or transferring a particular property in public interest, which might include now the issues which is mentioned, the issue of the land reform, of clearance of slums and so on. That's you need a more rigorous rationality test there. That's the debate. And I think that's why the Deputy Minister is quoting what is in the Constitution. And one of the issues which was the big problem with the previous was this absence of people if they disagree with the state that they cannot appeal to the court. Now that has been given, they're able to go to the court and test. And in particular, what is key to us is Section 25. And I think the Justice Minister is the question. Section 25 of the Constitution's property law. The tendency has always been to emphasize, of all the five issues which have been mentioned, the tendency has always been to emphasize that sub-clause D, which talks about the market value of the property, and not talk about all other issues. And for us, then, when we deal with this matter, we have to deal with it as per the Constitution, not just looking at one aspect. So both for the public purpose, and in public interest. I thought that I needed to emphasize that point. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Baba Masam.
Chair, thanks. Chair, that's what we were follow up with the Deputy Minister with regard to the next. I heard him saying, even if it is 100%, when they expropriate, they actually expropriate in the bank. And not the person that has, that is going to the bank, or the occupants, they are actually expropriating the bank. And they will make sure that they even compensate the person that is being moved out of the bank. Now the issue is going to become a problem. If you expropriate the bank, and you don't pay the bank what actually is being owned by the person, and I'm not sure, when I go to the bank, the agreement is between me and the bank. But here I am from the bank, I'm borrowing so much money, let's take $1 million. And after that, I can't leave, because my the house has been appropriated. But the agreement is between two people. Government was not there. How do I bow out to the bank today? No, I'm not going, because the house has been expropriated. If we can also get clarity, they would say, how do, because I signed the contract. with the text, and then how do we go about from that issue? And again, the question, that's on page 8. I just want to find out, they say that there was some few areas of this agreement recorded by Netflix. But this would be good to understand what were those areas of this agreement so that we all can understand what was it that they didn't agree. But my third question, Chairperson, is when it comes to, we see a person can go to court. Now, I'm looking at a poor person. That must go to court. He doesn't have money. He must go to court and challenge government, who got a lot of money to, who can go to court. How do I go about? I don't have money to go to court. I'm a poor person. Yeah, they are appropriating my property, and I don't agree with the offer. But the only option that I'm left with now is to go to court, and I don't have money. How do we deal with that issue? Thank you.
For the record, you made two comments and one question. You didn't ask three questions. We are still very much away. Unlike somebody in the corner there somewhere, right? I would propose that we take a leg stretch or do something to stay awake. Honorable member,
thank you, Chair, and let's thank the department for the presentation that they have made this morning. I didn't hear it very well about the market value. If the holder of the registered right does not agree with the market value that is put forth, what is going to be happening? Let's say the price is hiking very high and it's not according to the market value. What is going to be happening in that case? Will that frustration continue or what is going to be happening? And I wanted also to check, I don't know, it's not in the, especially the issue of communal land. Some of these municipalities in rural areas, they are found in communal land. And it is very difficult for them to use whatever land. Just give an example. There is a municipality that wanted to use land for constructing a mall in that particular area. If I still remember, well, the first meeting was held with the chief, it was in 2003, on the 19th of January 2003. Up to now, nothing has happened. It is just difficult for that municipality to get hold of that land. So, how is it done in the case of the communal land? Thank you.
My papi is a mayor, Matthias Araluka. Mama Sun, can you
tell me? Yeyona nto ibalulekileyo futhi ingundoqo kuluhlu lwemiqulu yentsebenziswano yethu njengombutho we-economic freedom fighters. Siyazi ke sonke ukuba abantu abamnyama bohlupha umhlaba abamhlophe ngokungenalusini ngaphandle kwebhatata. Ikwayinyani into yokuba le nkqubo yobuyiselo umhlaba ihamba ngokonyawo lonwabo iyacotha thexu ngenxa yokhalelo lokarhulumente ophethwe ngaloo minista ingadiseyingquba kakanga indaba yomhlaba kubantu bakutsha bamisha njani ukuba kufanele kubhatalwe abantu umhlaba abawuthatha ngokungekho mthetho ngolunya lo mzinzi ubalulekile kakhulu ke minista ngoba kaloku dibanisa isizwe sisonke thina ke sithi makubuyiselwe lo mhlaba ngaphandle kwesinxathezelo, which is compensation. Makungathiwa kuyoqhuba kuphinde kuthiwe futhi kuyabhatala. Asingqinelani ke naloko enkosi ahlale naphambili siyabona.
Siyabulela Masuti. Bawuzile uminista uzile bebhala kakhulu. Kakhulu.
Thank you.
last question.
I'll take the last question
from Honorable Sonki. Just 2 minutes, I will take it. Chairperson, there's a government which has come from Mulanaki. Expropriation is defined in the Constitution. So we can't violate the Constitution. But we are doing this constitutional. Expropriation without compensation is unconstitutional. So as government, we can't do that. We hear in this parliament presenting following the Constitution. That's my answer. So unfortunately, we disagree with that position. That's a public stance which would not help us. Would we just promote chaos in the country? Thank you. Honorable Minister, thank you. Deputy Minister, you may proceed with a rejoinder to Honorable Masan.
The first thing that I think is that expropriation doesn't substitute white commercial farmers. And in fact, typically many other of the poor people in that direction are also liable to expropriation for public purposes or in the public interest. Secondly, it's very important to read exactly what the property for sits in terms of how compensation. It says, amongst other things, the history of the acquisition and use of the property. And we know that in South Africa's public history, that's an interesting story, how it was acquired. Country group area, removals, and other forms of colonial expropriation. Secondly, it also says the extent of direct state investment, taxpayer investment in a particular property. We know that the authority expects investment considerably in the improvements of the property at taxpayers, costs. And therefore, arguments can be made around what's applicable and just compensation, and this is constitution, must be compensation. But once you've taken all of the steps, for example, compensation might be very little, and certainly might not be the market value. So we're not removing, and the Constitution explicitly does not remove considerations of historical justice. In fact, it says public interest is all about, expropriation for public interest is all about allowing expropriation not just to put through the power lines, but to redress the historical justice that we implemented, which are locked into much of the population. What is called a property clause in the Bill of Rights could as well be called an expropriation clause. And it's a question, and as you said, there can't be populist demagogic about this. But at the same time, as the Constitution requires, to push ahead energetically and with determination to ensure that there is justice and equitable restitution in our country to get the balance right between them. Another bank, maybe I'm not a financial economist, but essentially what I was trying to say is that the bank has loaned you money, that's called a great facility, to acquire a house. You may not have even begun to pay off on. So what's getting legally is the bank that has the land. You have occupation of the money. If the occupation is limited, it presumes you have some kind of compensation for determination and frustration that you have to go to the very beginning of getting a bond. So there will be some compensation. But presumably, after 5 years of occupation, paying off, a little amount of money, So the computation would be quite determined by those things. So you wouldn't know that's not to say that that would be the only realm of compensation. Okay. But again, I think that we have to get into the detail. But let me just say that in terms of the currency, I mean, it's going to be higher. The really market value is highly based compensation, and the bank owns the property under the hymn, so they would get the damages.
So we're correcting some of the serious problems. It's true that, and the bank said in response, it's true that bank support can be very costly. And that's certainly not what we're certainly card instruments that would be unconstitutional, block the rights of the appropriated entity to go to the constitutional control. But what we're trying to achieve is not a prolongation of the appropriation process, compensation process. Frankly, there is a lot of abuse of this. Not by poor people, but by wealthy people who know that it's just dying. It's spending millions of rand with construction company lined up that they can't get into the field or whatever because this process has been completed. And so this deliberate blocking of against the public. So we can't get the balance right there. Therefore, also, as I said, hopefully, and hopefully we run through the legislation in such a way that compensation will also take into account what is such an equivalent. So if someone can't go to court, and it's a shack that they're living in, but their only property, that can't possibly be just a market related to be inequitable and unjust, if that was not. That's how we need to write the legislation. But it's true that the access to courts time costing and money costing. We can't prevent it, and we have to write legislation that tries to. The current legislation needs to be mind driving. So it doesn't have the process. On market value, the question was not clear what market value means. Well, really just repeat it, and shaping what we've got a right to sell value, and what we've got is what we've written into the legislation. And what we've written into the legislation is that market value is one of the factors, but not the exclusive factor, that should be borne in mind when a compensation determination is made, either by the expropriator or the person claiming compensation, requiring compensation, or eventually the person who calls by the court. So of course must look at market value, amongst other things. This is the acquisition of the property, the current use, the credit, all of those factors must be taken into account. That is one of the factors. And it might well be transpired the other consideration of the having looked at how the property was acquired to group air and eviction, that current market value and then other money was spent by the holiday state tax money on improving the future. So all of those should be looked at when it's decided upon what kind of compensation. On communal land, I'm going to basically do the same thing, but in terms of Andre Merrick, who has not even done something in the communal land area, it did come up again with the House of Traditional Leaders question.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether you would like me to reply to Honourable Mr. Spencer of France.
You may, with the proviso that you end with a translation for the majority in the House. I'm going to
Ek wou net vir Adams die vraag oor communal land. gemeenschappelijke grond wordt opgehouden.
Ik wil aan de vraag, mooi mister. Dus ik kan maar
gebruik
een
boek.
Fantastisch.
De issue of communal land. In de main, communal land is either held by the tribal authority in trust for that community, therefore the tribe actually holds the title. Or the minister responsible for rural development and land reform holds the land in trust for that specific community. The instance that was raised about a municipality that has been endeavoring to acquire land via expropriation to build a much needed shopping mall or any other communal facility, but is thwarted by the land ownership. Such a municipality could therefore expropriate either the tribal authority if it holds title, or could actually acquire the land from the Minister of Rural Development. One would trust that acquisition of land between spheres of government would not be through expropriation, but if need be, that can be done. Examples would be where speed is of the essence. You remember with the building of the hot train system, the provincial government expropriated the national government simply for speed of execution. But ideally, such land should be acquired through negotiation. So it does not mean that if land is held by a community, that it cannot be acquired for essential public services. That's just a question that I want to respond to.
That's one question. And under my question, because I didn't fit in the head of that project myself, but there was a question about what the difference is between the parties. I think the first thing to say is that the head of that process can end in an agreement or non-agreement. And in this case, it is. So there was an agreement with the parties that they, although from different quarters they would have proposed a nuance here and a nuance there, that they all agreed. So the community sector, the labour sector, and the business sector all signed off on the bill. But I think that they should certainly be encouraged to make presentations to the committee to express where they think nuance would improve it. What I didn't say about citizens is that Agri South Africa, which is the first activist we've been having in the NetLab process, was generally extremely welcoming of what this is seeking to do.
They
know very well that the intention of 1975 is appropriate. They are very, very vulnerable, actually, to high end and they were extremely appreciative, as indeed were all the parties to what we're trying to do here. And I say so the differences are more of nuance than in our view, in our judgment, than of substance. But I'm sure that many of them would like to come when we come to hearing to the community, would like to express it. So rather than speak on their behalf, I think that's they certainly make recognitions to the chance that that would be for the people side.
Thank you, Kadeesh. Dat was in een verdere vraag en verzoeken. If there are no further comments at this stage, what I would like to suggest is that we do take a 10-minute break for tea. I'm sure the illegal workers affect them very quick efforts and they have to make sure with what you find in the and someone also kindly open the doors for some fresh air. So we'll resume at 11:30.
Say that we need to make a feedback report. So rather than us, thank you.
That's right. responsibility for the day is to deal with the strategic plan of the department. And I'm informed that the relevant officials that will lead that presentation will only be here in Parliament after lunch. We thought that this particular engagement, the expropriation bill, we thought that it would take us to lunchtime. This is why we allocated the time. But I'm not going to keep you here if we have, for the day, traveled as far down this road as we can. But to say that if there are no fantastic food and pressure, then I'll suspend proceeding until after lunch, when we'll continue with the strategic plan issues.
Okay, I think it's just one question that I saw, just want to make a follow-up point.
Okay.
But not a follow-up, it's a new question, sorry. It's a new question.
Honorable Matam says that the follow-up questions gave birth to a new question. So let us have that fresh from the maternity ward.
Thank you, sir. It's not so new. Sir, I just want to check with the department with regards to appropriating authority. I'm just making an example of the municipality. If a municipality have to explore the, is he having to go through the Minister of Public Works, or it's just a matter of fact, he has to follow the procedure laid down in the expropriation act?
Thank you, Honorable Makam. I'm sure your question was there. Your opportunity for a rejoinder, whoever is the taker.
It's a matter. In other words, expropriations, all expropriations don't need to come through, it shouldn't, but it come through the Minister of Public Works. They would proceed as normal, but they would need to be guided by the administration. The process needs to be guided, whether it's a municipality or a provincial entity or whatever. So it's a dilemma. Clearly, there are some overarching responsibilities of the department in terms of a register of expropriations. So that would include a municipal expropriation, just so that there's a comprehensive picture, and that the responsibility for that would rely with, the reporting of that would rely on the municipality in this case, but the keeping of this register would be the responsibility according to the legislation of the Department of Public Works. So we would be the repository of the register.
Okay. Please, as Minister.
See, precisely. If it were to be just public works, or to delay this, to avoid confusion and to avoid inconsistencies when it comes. Once this is the law, then it will be the prescribed procedure to be followed by anybody who's expropriating. That's the intention.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and Minister. Honorable Masang, are you fairly clear on the issue, sir?
I think we will have time that the committee was to engage with the sort of process, but also to get more clear as to the ones.
Definitely, as the committee says, you have that responsibility of going through the bill very thoroughly and will do so. Good folks. Chairperson, the vote very soon powers. I'm going to exercise one. We'll proceed at chapter 2. Thank you very much. You have any lunch at 12 o'clock. It will be brought here. There's no free lunch. So those who are here, the meeting. And then after. Thank you.